Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review. Today we're going over our course, Spiritual Gifts. We're continuing with that course. It's one of the courses in our Bachelor's in Practical Ministry program. We're on session number 3 this week, which is entitled, God Wants You to Know About His Gifts. Now, this session should emphasize the importance of knowing about spiritual gifts. It is intended to introduce the 3 gifts or the 3 groups in which they are classified. That is the gifts of ministry, other ministry gifts, and gifts of the Spirit. The session will also is intended to impress upon the students that a spiritual gift or gift can operate in each one of them. And as we always do, we're going to take time to pray and seek the face of God for His wisdom to be imparted in us through the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for each staff and student of Grace Bible College and Seminary, and we're praying for each and every one, each and every person who is listening to these teachings around the world. Let us seek the face of God even now, students. Father God, we thank you today for your grace and your mercy, for your loving kindness. We thank you for the power of your Spirit that dwells inside of us. We thank you for meeting all of the spiritual and physical needs of the listeners. May your life illuminate through them. May your power be manifested in and through them. And may your glory rest upon them and radiate into this world. So we thank you today as we study your scriptures. Help us to understand the meaning of the gifts of the Spirit for our life. And may your power operate through us to express these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. We're on session 3 of the course, Spiritual Gifts. And this is our practical ministry program, our Bachelor's in Practical Ministry. So I pray that you'll have your study guide and some note-taking material as I go over some of the highlights of this lesson review for you. We're going to begin with an introduction. As you've been studying along with us in this course, we've asked you to memorize certain scripture passages. And the chapter that we're looking at as a foundation for all of the operations of the spiritual gifts and spiritual fruit comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We started in our first session of this course about memorizing that whole chapter. This week I want you to take a look at that chapter again, particularly verses 3 and 4, and let's read them as we begin our study this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, and so those are 2 of the verses that we've asked you to memorize as a foundation for this lesson. As we expressed earlier that without the gifts of the Spirit operating in us, then the fruit of the Spirit must accompany those gifts in order for it to be effective. And we see here love is one of the primary fruit of the Spirit that must accompany the gifts of the Spirit that we're studying about in this course. So again, I want to remind you to memorize the first 6 verses of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and constantly do that as you go through this course to remind yourself on the foundation upon which these gifts operate. So let's talk about foundation. What the word foundation means? This will help us to understand why we're emphasizing that you go through this particular chapter and memorize it. The foundation is the part on which other parts rest or are built upon. And so in addition to this verses of Scripture being the foundation for the spiritual gifts, we want to understand the foundation of the church. what is it that what we now call the church, what does it rest upon? And we know that it rests upon the foundation, as Paul says. He compared the church to a building and said that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. So the Old Testament prophet and the New Testament prophet gave us the teaching on which the church is built. They even gave testimony in the book of Matthew, what Christ said, that upon this rock I will build my church. So that leads right into the next question I want you to think about. We know that the foundation, according to Paul, is the apostles and prophets. But the cornerstone of the building, Paul talked about also. You can see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And the cornerstone is Christ himself. So there's a foundation that is being laid, but Christ is the cornerstone of the foundation. All of the teachings and ministries of the early apostles and prophets has to line up with the cornerstone that has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we must continue to build upon the same system of love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness, and self-control that we see Christ express, that we see expressed through the early prophets and the apostles. And so, as we mentioned earlier, the foundation is something upon which other things rest or are built upon. We establish thus far that the foundation is the early apostles and prophets. Christ is the cornerstone. But what is it that is built upon that foundation off the cornerstone? And that is the building. So what are the stones that make up the building? And if you went through your course material, you understand that we who believe on Christ are the stones. You see, Paul says in Ephesians 2, again, verse 22, says that we are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You see, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that we are living stones in the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we realize, students, that each believer is needed and each one has a ministry as he or she allows the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. So this is why we think it's important in the scriptures. Writers thought it was important enough to share the teaching about the spiritual gifts in order that we may fulfill our purpose as members of the body. Another word we want to look at is govern. We looked at foundation. We thought about what the cornerstone means. Now, what does it mean to govern something? To govern means to control, rule, or manage. And so we continue with the same theme of understanding that Christ is the cornerstone, but he is also the one who governs the church, or he is the head of the church. And that means that he directs the church by the Holy Spirit. So how does he direct the church, students? By his Holy Spirit. And this is why it's important for us to understand what are the gifts of the Spirit that are given to the body of Christ. Because God works through all members, but especially through those that he has called to be leaders and those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, who manages? I've, of course, talked about who manages the distribution of the spiritual gifts. We can see, again, where Paul addressed us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, where Paul said, the Spirit distributes the gifts as he wishes or according to God's will. Now, what part do believers have in the operation of the spiritual gifts? Well, we know from our course that the Spirit governs the distribution, as we just talked about the distribution of the gifts. But we as believers must cooperate with the Holy Spirit in the operation of the gift. We must yield ourselves, open ourselves, and even ask God to use us by his Spirit. So we know that this is not just a spirit, but it is the Holy Spirit, that it is something that is divine, set apart, above all things. A word that we can use to look at this is supernatural. So let's understand a little bit about what supernatural means. Supernatural means above and beyond what is natural. It is beyond human ability. It is beyond human wisdom. It is beyond human power. So what supernatural power operates in the spiritual gifts? Well, we know that the unlimited power of God operates through the spiritual gifts, and this is why we need to understand the spiritual gifts. Understand that God wants you to know about the spiritual gifts so that the unlimited power of God will be able to be worked and operated through us. Let's cover two more questions in this introduction, and then we'll get to some of the meat of what our lesson talked about. Another question, how does God's power work through the spiritual gifts? We can look at some examples in Scripture. We see in the gift of healing, for example, that God heals people who could not be healed by human means, such as a doctor's skill. Another example, in the gift of the word of wisdom, we see that God enables a person to speak more wisely than his natural ability or understanding would permit. Those are two examples of how God's power works through spiritual gifts. And one final question in this section. Can we have other gifts that are not supernatural? Well, and the answer is yes. God gives people natural abilities as well, such as the ability to sing or speak well or to play musical instruments, that they can learn, that they can study, that they can practice in order to improve upon. Even unbelievers may have these natural gifts, but spiritual gifts are reserved only for those who are filled with Christ's Spirit. It goes beyond the natural ability. It's not something that you've learned, you've studied, or that you've tried to develop within yourself. It was a gift that God placed upon you and in your life. So let's understand more about the spiritual gifts and the believer. And we're studying session 3 of the course, Spiritual Gifts, that God wants you to know about his gifts. Now, we have an exercise sheet that we're going to cover in this particular portion of the lesson. And as we normally try to post the exercise sheets on our Facebook page for students who are studying by distance education, you can also contact us to get a copy of the exercise sheet. If you're in the classroom, your network training center director should be able to provide you with a copy of these exercise sheets. But for those of you who want to try to make notes, you can get a blank sheet of paper. And we have 4 questions that we're going to ask in this exercise sheet that our study guide pointed us to, that it addressed, and hopefully we can address these and get a little better depth of understanding. The first question that our exercise is going to ask is, why should Christians be concerned about spiritual gifts today? Why should Christians be concerned about spiritual gifts today? Well, we need to understand, students, that the church today should be patterned after the early church, which is described in the book of Acts. We see the Bible tells us that we should earnestly desire spiritual gifts, for it says in 1 Corinthians 12:31, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. So we understand, students, that when the Holy Spirit is able to work in the church through the body of believers, through the operation of the spiritual gifts, these are the supernatural gifts of the unlimited power of God, the church becomes a mighty force to draw people to Christ, to fulfill his mission of making disciples of all nations, even using signs, wonders, and miracles as necessary in order to convince people of the reality of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now, our second question is this. Should we pray for a particular gift? And should we claim a particular gift by faith? Let's think about these two questions for a minute. The first part of it is that the Bible does not tell us to pray for a particular gift. It only tells us, as we read earlier, to desire spiritual gifts for the church. It is the Holy Spirit, as we talked about earlier, who distributes the gifts according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit decides which gifts we should have. The Holy Spirit distributes them as he determines, as you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. So we do not just claim a gift as we may wish. We simply pray or desire spiritual gifts, and the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts according as he wills. Another question. Is there anything we can do to make it more likely that spiritual gifts will operate in our lives? Well, the lesson wants you to understand, and I want to reiterate with you today, that we can dedicate our lives fully to Christ, and we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what the early church teached and preached in Acts, and Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, after he had proclaimed the risen Christ to them, the people said, "What must we do to be saved?" He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So as we pray for God's will to be done in us, and as we obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will see that we are available and ready to exercise whatever gift or gifts he may want us to exercise for the good of the church. You notice that after Peter proclaimed that and told the people what they must do, he says that, "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is for you and your children, as for as many as the Lord God shall call, those who are near and far off." So even today, if you are not aware of the spiritual gift or gifts operating in your life, maybe you desire the spiritual gift for the good of the church, then we can pray for that to happen, as the early church laid hands on the believers and prayed that they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I pray today that as you go through these lessons, if you have not already been made aware of the spiritual gift or gifts operating in your life, that you would desire that, and that your God will equip you and prepare you to receive the gift or gifts that he has for your life. Let's look at the third question. Why are some people hard to accept the biblical teaching on spiritual gifts today? Why is it hard for some people to accept teaching about spiritual gifts today, even though they may know what the Bible says about these gifts? Well, of course, it talks about that. It talks about the fact that some Christians and even non-believers are not willing to give up their familiar way of worship. Many people may be afraid of what their friends will think or say if they accept the biblical way, as we see in Acts chapter 2. Others may have heard false stories about gift people or those who are filled with us, or perhaps they actually know of some who have abused spiritual gifts and have made the gift seem undesirable to have. This is why it's important, as we began this week's study and as we began this course, that we lay the foundation of the spiritual fruit accompanying the spiritual gift. And that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is very relevant to our being effective in the use of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to use us effectively. It must find a channel through the fruit of the Spirit in which so that the gift of the Spirit can operate. So this is why, if we don't operate within the fruit of the Spirit, this is why some people may find it difficult to accept the teaching on the spiritual gifts, because they do not manifest themselves with the accompanying fruit of the Spirit. One final question in our exercise sheet this week is this. When you first heard of spiritual gifts, did you have a desire for them? And if so, or if not, explain the feelings that you had at the time. This may be even a new teaching for some of you now, maybe perhaps some of the churches that you belong to, or maybe you're a new believer, and this may be the first time that you've heard about spiritual gifts. It's not uncommon We see our account in Scripture where a man named Apollos was preaching and teaching about the baptism of John, and two other believers who had been taught about spiritual gifts and the baptism of the Spirit came and asked him, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And he admitted, we have not even heard that there be such a thing as the gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And says that these two other teachers, Aquila and Priscilla, taught him a more excellent way. So perhaps today you're being taught a more excellent way about these spiritual gifts. Perhaps you've been baptized in water like the baptism of John, but you have yet to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So prayerfully today could be a day that you could find out more about these spiritual gifts. So what should be a Christian's response when we receive biblical knowledge concerning these spiritual gifts? What should be our responsibility at this point? Or what should be our response? Well, if you have not already received, we need to know that we should accept what the Bible says, no matter what men or women may say. We should earnestly, as the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, we should earnestly desire spiritual gifts, and we should make ourselves available to be used by the Holy Spirit in whatever way He chooses. Any mistakes others may have made cannot excuse us as believers from obeying God's word and following His teaching concerning spiritual gifts. So we've been going over session 3 of our course, Spiritual Gifts, which is entitled, God Wants You to Know About His Gifts. So let's look at some of the lesson insights that I want to leave you with for this week's study. Some of the lesson insights that we want you to get from this lesson is that faith comes by hearing and also by learning what the Bible says. Learning, as you are doing right now, learning about spiritual gifts makes us aware that they are available and that the Holy Spirit wants to manifest them in our lives. This knowledge that you're gaining right now gives us faith to yield ourselves to the Spirit, and as we yield to Him and obey Him, His gifts will operate through us. A second insight I want you to get is that if you are a member of a local church, which is the body of Christ, a visible expression of the body of Christ, there is a spiritual gift for you. If you have been born again, if you're not a part of a local congregation, but you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, God has a spiritual gift available for you. The Bible says there are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. You see a reference for that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. Notice that the Scripture says, in all, which includes everyone, including you. A third insight that we want to leave with you from this lesson review is that Paul mentioned other gifts of the Spirit in addition to the 9 that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. You'll see Paul listed 9 gifts of the Spirit, but there are also other ministry gifts or other gifts of the Spirit. We see that the Scriptures teaching, the lesson teach that God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers to the church. You find that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And we call these ministry gifts. God has also given other ministry gifts, including things like a ministry to the material needs of others. There's a ministry of help, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling or governing, showing mercy, and being helpers or assistance. You can see examples of this in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. So, students, what we want you to know is that there is a gift that is suitable for each member of Christ's body. Whether visible or invisible, there's a gift that God wants you to know about. A fourth insight that I want to give you in this lesson review is that here's an example for you to think about. When a certain man lost an arm in an accident, he found he could not get as much work done with one arm as with two. And so just like that, if any of us, as a member of Christ's body, fails to know, understand, or to do his part, some of the body's work does not get done. So the Lord needs every one of us to be working faithfully in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why this lesson is relevant, because God wants you to know about his spiritual gifts. One final insight that we want to leave you with is that we should not be confused by the slight variations in different Bible versions. In the NIV, for example, 1 Corinthians 12:8 reads this: "To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit." If you were to look at the King James Version of that very same verse, it uses the term word instead of message, which may be a bit clearer for some people, but it does not change the fundamental idea that these two gifts are more than an ability to preach wise and knowledgeable sermons by natural means. They are special revelations to fit particular occasions. So when a situation arises where a special word of wisdom or knowledge is needed, the Holy Spirit inspires his servants to give that word. This is how the spiritual gifts work. So I want to pray for each and every one of the students today, all who are listening, that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Also, Father, now pray that they will be available for the spiritual gifts that God wants them to exercise in their lives. And so, Father, now in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit, O God, may our lives be quickened with understanding, with knowledge, and with power, supernatural power from on high that supersedes our natural ability, our thinking, our learning, our hearing, O God. May your Spirit move inside of us. May we become more aware of the gifts and gifts that you have given us. And may those gifts operate fully and freely in our lives. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' master's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Students, I pray that you today, if you have not received the Holy Spirit, to ask divine spiritual gifts to be manifested in your life. And we'll be talking more about these spiritual gifts as we go forward with this course. And thank you for allowing me this time today to speak with you. And I look forward to our next opportunity. In the meantime, know that God wants you to know about his gifts. God bless you. In Jesus' name, good day.